Hello, my name is Brian Novoselsky, Associate Editor with Drug Topics. Today I'm joined by Sandra Canali, Founder and CEO of the Compliance Team, and Kara Benson, Director of Long-Term Care at Lewis Drug Inc. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Would you like to give the audience a little background on yourselves? Sandra, if you want to start first.
Sure. So I'm Sandy Canali. I'm founder and CEO of the Compliance Team. The Compliance Team is a CMS-approved accreditation organization. We are celebrating our 30 years, and we have 30 programs that mainly concentrate in the areas of pharmacy, demipos, and clinics, and even health departments. So would love to chat with any of you that are interested in accreditation overall or in any of those specific sectors.
Awesome. And Kara?
I'm Kara Benson. I am the long-term care director for Lewis Drug. Lewis Drug serves a tri-state area in South Dakota, Iowa, and Minnesota, and I oversee all of the long-term care operations for those facilities.
Great. So we can get into our discussion today about long-term care or LTC pharmacies. So first question, so we hear a lot about value-based care in the healthcare industry. What does that mean specifically to long-term care pharmacies and their patients?
Well, I look at value-based a couple different ways. One, typically it's tied to some kind of additional reimbursement, which I know long-term care at home is working on additional reimbursement. But I think more importantly is the concept of managing medications and that being done at top, working at the top of the license of the pharmacist, because value-based goes hand in hand with the evolving role of the pharmacist. And maybe Kara would like to comment on that.
Of course, yeah. So for me, value-based means quality over quantity. We definitely have seen an increase in the at-home services. On the pharmacy side, that means more specific packaging to each patient's needs. We do package differently for everyone's individual needs. Here at Lewis Drug, we have three different packaging types that we can package. First being individual bubble cards, stereotypically for our nursing homes. And then we have different packaging to help with compliance for those at home. And then of course, our standard vial packaging. For the special packaging, we do like to see higher reimbursement rates as alluded to before, just because they do take more of our pharmacists' time to ensure that that packaging is accurate.
And wouldn't you say, Kara, that this directly relates to managing and improving adherence with these patients?
Absolutely. We work hard to try to find a packaging that is very patient specific and something that's going to work for that patient's individual needs. So sometimes it's a mixture of two options or sometimes all three. We've seen that as well. So really just depends on that individual's needs so we can help with compliance.
Great. So talking a little bit more about reimbursement, how does value-based care affect pharmacy reimbursement?
Well, again, I had mentioned that there are bills in play. There are payers being talked to about getting additional monies per script for folks that remain in the home and are being managed by a pharmacist. That where their area of concentration is long-term care, but they want to keep the patient in the home. So, you know, there's lots of activity right now going on. I can't talk to specific numbers, but certainly the goal is to have higher level reimbursement in keeping that patient at home.
Great. So moving over a little bit more about kind of larger scope for LTC pharmacies, What big changes can we expect in the next 1 to 5 years for LTC pharmacies?
Well, I think, certainly post-pandemic, there's a greater influence on the use of telehealth, not telepharmacy, that's a different thing, but telehealth, meaning, oh, okay, you're communicating or monitoring or whatever with the patient at home or the patient in an assisted living or group home. Certainly, again, it goes back to that evolving role of the pharmacist and how telehealth comes into play now. Back even a few years ago, the concentration with the usage of telehealth was like meds to beds in regard to the discharge of the patient and how they were counseled on the new medications that the doctor had ordered. And this was all done by certain pharmacies. Certainly value-based medication, therapy management, focusing in on the chronic diseases that they spend, obviously a whole lot of time on the management of diabetes or hypertension or hyperlipidemia, and how in that evolving role, whether it's through integration where they have a consultant pharmacist that is in the facility or at least making rounds in the facility. So there's many different models that come into play and certainly will increase having these different models as we move into 3 years from now, 5 years from now. And I'd like Kara's comments on this as well.
Absolutely. The biggest thing that we've been seeing is integration via technology a lot of the times. So currently here at Lewis Drug, we utilize our own pharmacy software as well as the nursing home software and the doctor software, just as a triple and double and triple check to make sure all orders are entered correctly. We have immediate access to any sort of notes that either the nursing home or the provider is charting on the patient, which is essential in order to keep operations up and running. We also have utilized an increase in technology to enhance our integration. So we are currently integrating software systems with the nursing home so that as we enter orders here at the pharmacy, they're automatically being transmitted onto the EMR system. That EMR system also has barcode scanning to help for safety measures that, yes, this medication is supposed to go to this patient. And then that automatically charts for the nurse at the nursing home, too, that, yes, I did administer this medication.
It's come a long way, right, Kara?
Absolutely. Technology has changed things dramatically in the past 2 years, and it's exciting to see where it goes in the next 2 to 5.
Right.
When you hear the term at-home care, what does it mean to you, and how does that translate into LTC pharmacies?
So at home is obviously there's an emphasis on at home overall with keeping the patient in the home and receiving the same kind of care and treatment as much as possible, whether it's pharmacy, whether it's DMEPOS, certainly, getting infusion drugs. I mean, it goes on and on with the various different models, keeping the patient out of the hospital. Obviously, a lot of this movement is directly related to keeping costs down, better efficiencies as it relates to not only keeping costs where the patient is in a facility as opposed to at home, but also with better management within home, they prevent ER visits. They prevent, being admitted and then readmitted because of medication problems. And, typically, I think it was the previous Surgeon General, they came out with a quote that said 50% of medications are either not used at all or used incorrectly. And what better reason for the evolution of the role of the pharmacist getting involved even into the home with this better medication management? Would you agree, Kara?
Absolutely, yes. As we see this transition to at-home services, I think pharmacy's role really focuses in on compliance of medications for our patients. And that's where I feel like our packaging can help with the compliance. So again, just tailoring to the patient's needs, what's going to work best for them to ensure that they're taking the right medications at the right time in the correct fashion. We also focus here at the pharmacy at our with our at-home services. We do offer delivery system and we can mail prescriptions to them. So if transportation's an issue for any of our patients, we do offer those services as well. Here at Lewis Drug, we have a heavy at-home hospice service. And so it's just ensuring that these patients have any sort of medications that they need at their disposal when they need them. And that is a 24-hour service that we offer. So even if it's in the middle of the night and somebody needs something, we can be called out to offer those medications in order to keep that patient in the home, and preventing an ED visit or a hospitalization.
I think the other thing to point out is that there are many different sites of care as it relates to long-term care pharmacy. We've talked about at home, we've talked about, facilities being skilled nursing facilities. There are group homes that concentrate on the mental health population. There are prisons. There are many different types of long-term care sites of care that, as an accreditor, we've accredited many providers that have done just that and, maybe specialize in managing medications for the prison population or only for group homes for the mentally disabled, or there's many different sources of population and services that are needed and are already being fulfilled by the various pharmacies across the country. And it's exciting to hear about Lewis Drug and their population and their program with hospice at home, because that's another unique type model.
You touched a lot about a lot on at-home care, delving a little more into it and like kind of assessing the future. Will at-home care for LTC pharmacies be a challenge in the future, or will they present benefits for the overall functionality of LTC pharmacies practice?
I think there is going to be a demand for LTC pharmacy at home. Again, because of cost savings, because of higher level reimbursement to the pharmacist. And at the end of the day, who doesn't want to stay home if at all possible for the patient? And that's what it's all about.
Pivoting a little bit, you guys touched on telehealth a little bit earlier. How has the increase in telehealth resources since the COVID-19 pandemic affected LTC pharmacy? And what kind of changes are necessary to stay competitive during the continuing increase in telehealth?
I think Kara has already touched upon this because of their various types of packaging that is utilized. But all technology, whether it's via iPad or whatever, I think all of us have been challenged since the pandemic and now post-pandemic. I mean, I never even heard of Zoom prior to COVID. So now we've got Zoom, we've got GoToMeeting, we've got GoToWebinar. We do virtual accreditation visits with some type, some evaluation being done via technology. So I think any opportunity to utilize technology with having services that maybe the patient doesn't have direct access to that now is being fulfilled with remote monitoring, with all of those things via technology. It's only going to grow more, especially with AI and everything, like that in the mix, I think it's only going to increase. Do you agree, Kara?
Absolutely. When I think pre-COVID, I just think of when all of our orders came in via a fax machine. And if our fax machine went down, we went down. But now it's just so interesting to see how telehealth and technology has changed our connectivity towards one another. Like I alluded to earlier, I can log into the physician system, I can log into the nursing home system and see what orders I need to see. I don't have to rely on anybody else to get me those. So that's just, it's interesting. We have instant connection to everybody we need to.
Yeah,
It's
that's
great.
really great. I really feel like the pandemic kind of gave technology a chance to really flex its muscles and kind of get out there to everyone. So yeah, I definitely agree.
Well, the other thing, I mean, that it is also the living, breathing thing of teaching old dogs new tricks, where you have folks in my population that were not as tech savvy as Kara is, that have, had to rise to the occasion to learn all of this. So,
Definitely.
and obviously, it's a way of keeping us going too.
We can end on talking a little bit about accreditation. So since accreditation is not mandatory for LTC pharmacies, why did your organization choose to go through this process? And was there a specific goal you were hoping for with the accreditation process to accomplish?
I think Lewis Drug chose to get accredited because it holds all of our locations at a same standard. And so it just creates consistency across all of our locations. It's also super beneficial that it's a third-party validation, so it's unbiased in any sort of way. It just ensures that we're all held to an elite standard and we're operating at that standard.
Well, the other thing I'm gonna, obviously I'm the accreditor. But one thing I know also can come into play, especially with long-term care pharmacies, is that they want contracts with facilities, whether it be, a skilled or, an assisted living or whatever. Most facilities know about accreditation. So the fact that your quality has been validated by a third party puts you at the top of the list with getting those contracts. And, as Kara mentioned, maintaining that high level of standard, and with the compliance team, it's at that exemplary level because our accreditation is all about Lewis Drug being an exemplary provider, because every patient deserves exemplary care. And again, that's really what it's all about and what we strive for as an accreditor, and I'm sure as a pharmacist and a good sized pharmacy chain, that's what Lewis Drug strives for as well.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. I feel like Lewis Drug definitely wears the accreditation as like a badge of honor. And we're proud to announce that we are accredited to our nursing home facilities that we're currently servicing, and then those that we are pursuing as well.
Awesome. So for my last question, again, really just elaborating kind of on the whole accreditation process and kind of how it helps Lewis Drug and the compliance team, how you're able to kind of administer it. Basically, how can accreditation help LTC pharmacies as a whole meet current and future challenges?
So there again, accreditation is all about identifying gaps for improvement, in need of improvement. So we look at things that they may not even know are there, because it's like, okay, you don't see what's right in front of you that you see day to day, and you're going along, servicing patients and doing your jobs, that you may not pick up that certain things have expired, or that really your process now, because you brought in new personnel, doesn't match up with the policy that you wrote last year that says you did a certain thing one way, and now this new guy, Joe, is not doing it that way. So we come in and we verify and validate that not only that they meet our standards, but that they're following their own policies. so that we're able to gauge and tell them, oh, okay, well, we noticed over here that you had said the policy was this, and we noticed that it actually was being utilized in a different way. So certainly identifying those, we'll call them opportunities for improvement, looking at patterns where it's obvious that more training is needed in certain aspects, especially when you have a chain the size of Lewis Drug, and we're looking at the whole organization. We need to make sure that we're giving them the appropriate feedback and to benefit them. I mean, that's why they get accredited. So the accreditation itself outside of DME is voluntary. I think that's hugely important because they chose to be an exemplary provider. They chose to be accredited and be validated by a third party because they want to put a spotlight on quality improvement.
Well, that is all I have for you guys today. I really appreciate you guys joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.